This is The Record from KUOW. I'm Jeannie Yandel. People who are severely mentally ill and in crisis often can't afford expensive private care, so many of them can end up in county jails, and jail staff aren't prepared to care for them. Seattle PI reporter Levi Pulkkinen looked into some of those cases and found stories of three young men in Washington state who were put in county jails and ended up dying. One of them was Jimmy Johnson. He was 27 years old and experiencing a crisis with his schizophrenia. He'd also been moved around emergency rooms and jails for months before he entered the Mason County Jail for one last time in April of 2013.
Jimmy's grandma had been working incredibly hard to get him into some kind of treatment program that would actually address his schizophrenia. He'd been bouncing in and out of hospital emergency rooms and jail. I mean, that had been his pattern. He would have better stretches and then just come apart and wind up in the emergency room and then be sent back home in, you know, a number of hours or a day. And then he'd come apart again. It was just this this kind of yo-yo that they were stuck on. As far as I can tell, he never got care in the community that was meaningful.
What happened the last time he ended up in the county jail?
So his last arrest in Mason County, his jail stay didn't go well at all. That jail is not well equipped to serve people who are in a mental health crisis. And he was ultimately able to kill himself. He had been placed in a jail cell that was not at all suicide proofed. He had a bed sheet. He used it to hang himself. It's basically the way that prisoners kill themselves. It's an unusual outcome, and it's entirely preventable.
Well, you said it's an unusual outcome, but in your reporting, you gave two other examples of inmates who died. They were in solitary. They were in, as you called it, mental health crisis. Why does that keep happening?
Well, our county jails aren't regulated in this state. There's no meaningful state oversight of how they operate. They often are poorly funded. Most of them weren't built to deal with people having severe mental health issues, and they're poorly equipped to do so.
And you actually quote a former jail worker who indicated that jail management maybe might have been part of the problem. This former jail worker said, "We don't have the tools to deal with people like this."
Yeah, and that's not specific to Mason County. That people who run jails are trained to run jails. They're not trained to run these kind of de facto mental health facilities. They're not trained to do the work they're being asked to do. In Mason County, I mean, there was a notable exchange that I came across in my reporting where the gentleman who is now the elected sheriff there had been asking the county council for money to do what's called crisis intervention training for jail staff. Basically, you train them, you give them the skills to respond quickly when you see somebody who's a threat to themselves. They couldn't get the money together to do even that, let alone create real systems within that jail to better serve people who are in crisis.
But this isn't just a problem in Mason County. It's not just a problem in Washington State. This is an issue in jails across the country. There are people in mental health crisis who end up going in. They don't get treated as people with mental illness. They get treated as inmates who are behavioral problems. And in some cases, they end up doing exactly what Jimmy Johnson did. So how did it get to this point where jails became, I think, as you called them, de facto mental institutions?
Well, I mean, there's a pretty straight line from the deinstitutionalization initiatives in the 70s and 80s to where we are today, where basically people who have severe mental health issues, that, you know, especially people who have psychotic or extremely paranoid mental experiences, they basically end up in the emergency room, in jail, or on the street. And that's because we don't really have anywhere else to put them. The community supports that were supposed to come online as we were closing these mental hospitals never arrived.
Where did that movement come from? I'm trying to remember how that happened. How did that happen?
The idea was that these are places, the mental health hospitals in the country, I mean, many of them were full of abuse, and there were people being kept there that didn't need to be, that could function in the community. And it was seen as a moral wrong to keep folks locked up that way. There's a lot of back padding that we do about not keeping people in these kind of one flew over the cuckoo's nest style mental institutions. And there's probably good reason to celebrate that people aren't being locked up for being mentally ill in those institutions. But the reality is we're doing it with the county jails instead. And that's not a reasonable way to approach this problem.
You did report on a jail in Des Moines, Washington, that's trying something different when they do have inmates who are in mental health crisis. It's called the South Correctional Entity, or SCORE. What's happening in that jail? What are they doing?
About a year or so ago, the folks at SCORE kind of had an awakening where they changed the ethos of their jail. They recognized that they are a mental health care provider, that that's part of what they do, and it's not what they should be doing. They don't deny that jail is not the place where ideally this would be happening, but the reality is it is. So in changing that ethos, what they did is they brought in some folks that are trained to help people. They brought in, I think they're going to staff up to 4 mental health counselors and a nurse who can manage prescriptions. And what they've seen is that enables them not to place folks into solitary confinement. And that's a huge benefit, because what we know is that solitary is a bad place to be generally, and it's a very bad place to be if you're experiencing a mental health crisis.
Do you think that those kinds of reforms are scalable, though? It's remarkable that there is a jail that has sort of dealt with the reality of the situation, which is they are dealing with people in mental health crisis and those people need treatment. But is that something that other jails could adopt?
Well, there are aspects of it that probably aren't. It's a larger jail. They deal with a specific population. It's a misdemeanor jail. So it's folks that aren't on track to spend long prison sentences necessarily. But if SCORE is seen as the gold standard, there are plenty of steps between where we are now and there that we could take. I mean, proper screening of people coming into a jail is not an impossible thing to do. Making sure that our jail staff across the state is trained so that they can identify people who are suicide risks is not impossible to do. Making sure that we're not putting people who are suicidal into cells where they have the tools they need to kill themselves is something we can do. There's a basic ethical commitment you make when you're taking people into custody. When you're taking someone's freedom from them, what you're saying is, I will take care of you because I'm putting you in a position where you cannot take care of yourself. Prisoners can't go down to Safeway if they're hungry. They can't get a job. They can't provide for themselves. They can't seek out their own medical care. If we are going to take the freedom from these folks, then we have to provide that care. That's the basic commitment you make as a jailer or as a society that puts people in confinement. And we're not doing that right now.
Levi Pulkkinen is a reporter for the Seattle PI. We're tweeting out a link to his story now.